Hello everybody, welcome to episode 31 with Glam With Us, Sneakus your host. Tonight I am joined by John Leader, who is the author of Beautify. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, how are you?
Good, thanks. First of all, I want to say thanks for providing this great Vue.js UI library based on Material. I'm actually using it for my website and it really simplified things for me.
Thank you. Yeah, it's that's always been kind of the goal, is to make it easier for anyone to get into creating a website.
Yeah. So can you just let us know a little bit about your background and, you know, how you got into Vue and stuff?
Sure. So basically, I was in the military for around 6 years, and whenever I got out, I couldn't actually do my profession in the civilian sector. Mm-hmm. So I had always wanted to program. Mm. Originally, it was like I wanted to make video games, but when I moved back to Florida, whenever I got out of the military, some of our high school friends had a small web agency, and I figured, well, that was a way for me to be able to do some programming. This was in 2014. So I started working for them in 2014, and worked there for about a year until I moved on to the company I was at before I started on Beautify full-time, Fast Forward Academy. And, you know, about halfway into my time there, I created Beautify, and over time it just started to kind of get a little bit more popular, and I got to a point to where I had to kind of make a decision, and I decided to leave my job and pursue Beautify full-time. That's kind of my past 8 years or so.
Well, for only working in the web industry for, was it 4 years or something, I'm really impressed with what you've been able to pull off. You know, it's a really large, well-loved UI library, which is no mean feat, you know.
Well, I think part of it was a little bit of luck and, you know, that's kind of all opportunity is. And I just decided to pursue it harder than most, so... Trust me, I have people that are on the dev team that make me look silly all day long, so I'm just kind of the glue at this point.
Okay. So how did you just pick up coding from straight out of the military?
Well, in the military, I was infantry, and I had some injuries when I was overseas. And, you know, I've always been into computers. I've always done computer repair, and in fact... my A-plus certification was one of the things I was potentially seeking whenever I was pursuing a degree. But the way things kind of fell, you know, I don't even have my associates, actually. I was going to college in Florida, and kind of when these jobs started, you know, happening, when I got my first job and then when I got my second job, I decided to kind of... pursue more of learning the craft than learning the academics of it, because the, you know, at least the courses that I was taking in college were something that I wasn't even seeing being used in my real life day to day. So I thought maybe I would benefit more by spending that extra time that I would normally be doing studies on just learning my craft better.
So before we talk about the code in Vue, I just want to ask, I'm looking at the website of the GitHub, 13,000 stars. So my biggest library has 30 stars. So you're 1,000 times better than me at growing open source. So that's how does that evolve the workload on GitHub as you get more and more stars? And how do you make that scalable and not drive you crazy?
Well, what ends up happening is it was kind of a progression. In the beginning, when it was... you know, less than 1,000 stars, I would have plenty of time to really talk with the community and the help channels and provide a lot of support and feedback.
Yeah.
And basically what happens is over time is you get to spend less time doing that and more time focusing on bigger picture items, because the, you know, the framework is already pretty well established and it's large enough to where, you know, there are certain areas that you may not go for a couple months because it's you know, yeah. working, or it's not a high priority item, or it's an item that's going to be updated soon. So putting any effort into it would be kind of useless at this point. But it, really, it's kind of finding really motivated developers to help and trying to provide them with something that they may not otherwise be able to achieve at their current job. As an ability to, or as a way to expand themselves professionally. You know, a lot of the developers that help us hands-on, you know, they've been using Beautify for a while, or they, it was a personal project or a business project, and, you know, they kind of, you know, found an area that they felt they could improve themselves professionally that they weren't having an opportunity to at work. And we do the same thing for moderators and writers and stuff like that, and we just try to, you know, Beautify is a very large ecosystem, only getting larger. So there's plenty of places that you can, you know, put someone at that they could excel at and do something that they enjoy while also still providing value for the community.
Yeah, I see. Now, one of the reasons that attracted me, which is probably going to be interesting to you and the listeners there. So I've experience with React and Material UI as in a professional project, but it was, I had to think too much on how to get it to be mobile friendly and how to have everything like the left menu there and everything tied together. But when I came to your website in Beautify, it's like I looked at the template and everything was there that I needed for actual mobile app. And it's like I've never used Vue before, and I just decided I'm going to try this out. Installed the Vue CLI and stuff like that, and it just worked. I'm like, wow, this is good. And I'm just like, okay, I put my website in it.
Well, I think that's where a lot of the why Beautify has succeeded, because as a new developer, I was, you know, doing things in a way that would make sense to me, that would be easy to me. Now, obviously, if you looked at the version now versus the version that was, you know, 2 years ago, we obviously are, you know, a little bit more advanced in the way that we do things, and it's not as, you know, we used to have things like a local bus, and we used to, you know, like lists didn't actually have markup that you could provide. You would just give it an array of items. So kind of morphed over time, but the core philosophy of, you know, easy to learn, easy to master kind of thing, where you can really just have an idea. And I actually do this a lot in the community. I'll come in the morning and I'll have some extra time, and I'll ask for someone to like provide a mock-up of something that, you know, they've been trying to do, or some type of functionality they just couldn't, you know, wrap their head around using in Beautify. And I'll try to create that in, you know, like 30 minutes or less, using just Beautify with no other sources. Okay. And it's just kind of a testament to how, you know, if you can imagine what you want, we're probably going to have the feature or functionality that'll allow you to accomplish that. So there's not really, you know, some of our components are robust enough to be their own, you know, package libraries, you know, for a certain section of the UI. But you kind of don't have to go anywhere else besides Beautify to get it.
Yeah. It's just saves so much like brain space just to be able to just use this framework. And I found you're obviously learned some stuff in the military about like communities. You've built a Discord server with about how many thousand users now?
I think it's like 11,000.
What? 11,000 users. So I see you've got quite a nice structure there. And my biggest Discord server is about 200. I own the TensorFlow Discord and also the Visual Studio Code one, which has 60. But I was wondering how you managed to grow that Discord server so big.
Well, it's providing people with something that they don't normally get. So, you know, a lot of the things that I heard early on whenever I was doing this was like, wow, you know, I can't believe how fast you respond or how fast things are handled or the way that you communicate with the, you know, the community. And I think that's because I kind of went all in for it. Normally whenever you make a package that's open source, you know, it's for a couple reasons. You're just doing something for fun, or maybe you're doing it and it's going to help you get a job somewhere, right? A lot of people will make a big package and they'll get a job with someone. But I was kind of the opposite. So I felt that if I didn't give myself like a branch to fall on and I just said, hey, I'm going to go 100% into this and, you know, try to provide support, try to, you know, create value for other developers, that I wouldn't be kind of doing it like with the thought in my head that, oh, well, if it doesn't work out, I, you know, have a job. You know, yeah. Obviously I could probably find a job if something happened with Unify, but the point was is that it needed to be my focus in order mm-hmm. to make sure and that it was going to, you know, grow. Mm-hmm. And really that's kind of all it was, is just continually trying to find ways to make things easier for people and trying to find talented developers to, you know, help realize that dream.
Mm-hmm. I think there's not many success stories when it comes to open source, but yeah, people can make, if you can make a living from open source, then that's the dream, isn't it? It's like just you're on your own boss completely.
Well, yeah, well, it's being able to, you know, create something that is going to make it easier for other people. Because I've seen some of the things that people have made with Beautify, and it's kind of like that, you know, whenever you have a video game and the developers, you know, they've played it and they've tested it and they set it out there, and then these really talented individuals take that and they'll do crazy things and they'll do speed running or they'll find hacks and ways to get around stuff. So, you know, obviously we can make some pretty good sites, but the people that utilize and implement Beautify, they've showed some things and I'm just like, wow, like I can't believe that's the framework. And, you know, as long as we can continue to do things like that, I think that we'll always be fine, just because if someone can take our product and then make a product of their own, then they can, you know, help the ecosystem get more powerful and more functionality. And then, you know, it helps everyone kind of evolve. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm working as a I've got a nice contract with React, probably a bad word around the Fuse ecosystem, but one thing I've noticed is, like, in London most of the contracts are based at React. There's not that many asking for Vue, but yet Vue has much more people using it. It seems that the stars are crazy. And are you finding Vue is using the industry starting to take Vue more seriously?
Well, yeah, and here's what it comes down to is, like, if you're a business owner and you have a CTO or someone deciding your technology stack, mm-hmm. A lot of the things that you're looking into when you're deciding on that is what is it going to cost, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing. Now, Vue in itself is still very new, and at a bird's eye glance to a lot of really large enterprise companies, you know, that's kind of, oh, it's still very new and it still needs to be refined, or we need some more information on it, or yeah, we need time for, you know, senior level devs to be good in it. Because that's generally what most companies are hiring if they're hiring for Vue, is they want a senior level guy so that they can bring other devs on. And that's kind of where Vue excels, because it's an extremely easy framework to onboard new developers in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with how much functionality you can get out of the front end and the back end with Node, a lot of companies you can even keep in the same language for your entire product. Mm-hmm. So this helps decrease costs for businesses, and you know, eventually once it has been matured enough, you know, you'll start to see even, I mean, I think there's tons of people coming in right now, but I'm sure it's only going to get more and more as time goes on, when there's more developers to kind of pull in and seek out, because there's not a lot of, I mean, I would imagine there's probably not too many senior level devs out there that have used Vue for its whole life, basically. So,
mm-hmm. Okay, so there's two questions I have about Creatify. So first one is, how did you go about matching your CSS of Creatify with Material? It seems like quite a large spec.
Yeah. Well, I had a little bit of, so before I created Beautify, I had a small package that I was porting over to Vue. So there's a popular CSS framework called Materialize CSS. Uh-huh. And Evan Yu, the creator of Vue, announced you know, all the features for 2.0, and then I believe it was at like Laracon or something that he actually released the beta. Uh-huh. But I had been following it, and I was like, okay, maybe I'll, you know, use creating, like, this will be my project. I'll create a framework using someone else's stuff with the new Vue 2 stuff, mm-hmm. so that I could understand and learn it better.
Yeah.
And I released that, and I think it has, like, right now it has, like, 157 stars. Mm-hmm. I was real happy with it. It was really cool. And yeah. I got to a point, though, where it was, like, the only thing that I could do would be to either convert their JavaScript to Vue, or to, you know, create new components that are going to be maintained outside of what they were doing.
Right.
And I just kind of thought, well, if I'm going to write something new, you know, it might as well be my own.
Yeah.
And I think maybe 2 to 3 weeks after I, you know, kind of finished the port and kind of launched it, I was like, all right. So I at the time, actually, I was doing a lot of prototyping. And being a new developer, I really wasn't even, you know, keen. I knew about Bootstrap and things like Semantic UI, but they always felt very cumbersome to me. And even, I don't remember if ViewStrap was out at that time, or maybe I didn't even know anything about it, but it was just kind of cumbersome using Bootstrap specifically. So I was like, all right, I'll use this as an opportunity to kind of get better at a couple fields in my craft, and at the same time, maybe create a small little tool that'll make it easy for me to, you know, get some side client work or something like that.
Yeah. Good, good. Wow. So as a view identified component, essentially just a view component with like CSS that comes along with it or something, or how does that work?
Well, basically it's like if you created a component in your own project. You know, that's what most people do whenever they roll their own things. If they need a slider or something like that, or a select or whatever. All we're really doing is saying, hey, we're going to provide all this functionality for you, and you don't have to maintain it. It's all unit tested, and all you have to really worry about is implementing it. You know, I've always been a really big fan of Legos. I loved them as a kid. My son loves them. And that was kind of always, and it's even going to be more so in the next version, as we take some of the core functionality that's kind of been baked into components in different ways, and abstracting that out into their own publicly consumable components that make up the base for some of the more advanced things, so that you can, you know, as a user, if you like our carousel, you can use it.
Yeah.
If you don't like our carousel, you can build it using the same stuff that we use to build the carousel. In fact, that's what I was actually doing this morning when I was working on examples for a new component that's releasing in 1.3, is just creating examples showing, hey, you can make really advanced implementations with stuff that already exists, so you don't have to, you know, roll your own.
I see. Right. So, wow, this is going by quickly. It's really interesting. okay, so how do you manage to keep your library in sync with all the changes in Vue Core and Vue CLI?
You have to pick your battles. I have many of our open source contributors. I've kind of tried to not pigeonhole them into a specific role, but kind of keep them in a certain area of components and functionality. So, you know, we have some people that work on like date and time pickers, for example, is like exclusively for JSIC, and we have someone that helps maintain our regular Vue CLI templates for version 2, and then, you know, I think everyone's had their hand in a little bit for the Vue CLI 3 template stuff. But I have to kind of, basically, I keep a very high level overview of my goals for the framework over the course of the next few years.
Yes.
And really what it focuses on is having my attention pivoted specifically to a certain scope for each different section. So if we're about to get 1.3 out, I really haven't even touched the CLI plugin, right? But we have other people that have, and, you know, I kind of put a lot of trust into people to you know, make good decisions, and they do. And then whenever it gets time for me to start messing around with that, then there'll be dedicated time that'll be me going through and learning and understanding, you know, what's going on with, like today, for example, we are releasing an update to the Vuetify loader, which the Vuetify loader in the past was used for a la carte for, you know, properly bringing over styles. Mm-hmm. And in 1.2, it got updated for progressive image support, so that using the image, you can get automatically created progressive images. Well, in 1.3, what we're adding is you're going to be able to drop, I think it was like 7 lines of code in your Vue config file or your Webpack file, and Vuetify will be automatically tree-shaked for you. So you don't ever have to worry about manually setting up your tree shaking and importing, and you're just going to have to include a loader, and then whatever components you use will be automatically put into your bundle for you. So
wow, so advanced, really.
So that's the last big hurdle, I think, because as a framework, you're always going to grow horizontally, right? Like, there's no way, no matter how much optimization you do, if you add a new component, it's going to add size.
Yeah.
Especially if that component's not replacing existing functionality. So yeah. The only way to combat that is to provide the user with a way to specifically choose what they want. Well, we have a process for that now, but it's a bit cumbersome. You have to, you know, either know exactly which components you want to use or start up your application and look for the errors that say you're missing this component and then import it. But it becomes a step that is, it creates an issue. Like, a user is building an application and they're like, I've been doing all this stuff and I didn't start out with a la carte, and like moving over to it feels like a big like hurdle. Like, I have to go in here and learn all these things. So what we're going to be doing is that's actually going to be the default option whenever you install Vuetify through the Vue CLI, is it's going to automatically set it up to where it's only going to use whatever components you're using in your application, and then you never have to think about it again. And if you want to specifically turn that off, you know, we'll be an option for that as well. But
okay, great. Okay, so wow, we're quite far into this podcast already. 21 minutes. Okay, so I'll just ask some questions that would be helpful to me, because I'm trying to get into more open source stuff myself, and I have my test recorder. I don't know if you've heard of it, basically it records end-to-end tests. Mm-hmm. That's another thing I like about Vue, the CLI, is that it comes with Nightwatch out of the box, whereas React doesn't give you that. It just gives you Jest, which is unit testing, basically, and integration testing.
Yeah.
So one thing I'm trying to do is attract sponsors for my test recorder, and it's like, it's kind of hard to get sponsors until you put more and more effort into the tool, but then it's kind of like, it's hard to justify all that effort. How did you go about, you know, getting more sponsors for Vuetify?
I made it not my focus.
Right.
And, you know, and even that has a point that it's kind of come to a halt. Like, you know, we've had, you know, we are very successful as far as Patreon goes, but in terms of actual salary, it barely pays for a junior level developer, right? So there has to be other things that we do in order to, you know, we release the theme to try to provide, you know, good value to developers, but also give us some additional monetary support. Mm-hmm. But really, it's in order to attract sponsors want numbers, or they specifically want the functionality that you're providing that no one else does.
Yeah.
In our case, it just kind of, you know, it wasn't until maybe 7 months after I had launched or officially announced Vuetify in December of 2016 before I even opened Patreon. I just tried to make sure that I worked harder than everyone else. And the developers that were in the chat would see this and they would relay this to their, you know, their management and see if they could try to, you know, sponsor us, you know. And that's that's really the kind of, because for most cases, it's either the company's doing it because they really believe in what you're doing and they want to support you, or the company finds value in whatever perk you're giving them for that specific slot. That's kind of really all it is. We just have such a large audience that it makes it possible to do that, because we have the opportunity to reach so many people.
Cool. So, yeah, so basically in 4 years, you've managed to pull off this really amazing library. So where do you see yourself in the next 2 years, 2-3 years? Do you have any idea what you want to do next, or do you want to just keep focusing on this?
Well, what I'd like to be at is at the point where I'm doing more teaching about Vuetify and Vue than I am development. There'll be a natural point where Vuetify will be, for all intents and purposes, feature complete, and you know, we'll add stuff over time depending upon, but as we grow, it means that everything else becomes, you know, we have more tests that we have to run and make sure that the things that we change don't affect, you know, other areas and whatnot. So I'm imagining after probably, you know, a year and a half to 2 years, that the core of what we wanted, or at least what I wanted whenever I envisioned Vuetify, will be kind of complete, and we'll be working on more, hopefully more advanced things, kind of like the RFCs and whatnot that Vue setting up, so that people can be, you know, more involved with actual changes that happen within the framework. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully I'll be teaching people and providing, you know, value to developers and how to, you know, create amazing applications.
Yeah, I think there's a huge scope for teaching because there's so much, like, I need to be political here. Like, if developers could design well and just see how good UI is, you could eliminate a lot of the design cost, I feel. I mean, you still need designers, but you could have a sort of hybrid developer-designer or even teach designers some coding skills. I think there's a huge market for designers who can create beautify templates. I mean, there's just a huge market. I mean,
We're focusing on right now is trying to get a couple themes out there that have some good value in working with other outlets that provide themes so that we can, you know, because sometimes you want to buy something and get right into it. You don't want to do, you know, you like the theme and you want to buy it and you want to use it. So that provides good value for developers. And also thinking about as a business, you know, that's why themes are popular, because how long would it take them to develop and then integrate and with mock-ups and everything else whenever they can just get something off the shelf? So there's not a whole lot of that for Vue, and especially not a whole lot of that for Vuetify. So it's something that, you know, we're putting some stock into as far as, you know, giving things to people, because it's really hard to justify selling someone a theme, right? Because you go to like ThemeForest and you see someone's got something up there for like $50, but it's like Bootstrap and it's all these different plugins that they've integrated together to work in this one package.
Yeah.
But with Vuetify, you kind of just get all that stuff out of the box. Like, you don't have to worry about integrating a carousel component from whatever library because it's kind of already there. So it kind of challenges us to come up with interesting ways that can provide, you know, I keep going back to this provide value for, but that's really the key, is that people see value in what you're doing. So that, you know, people can have something cool to play around with, but it also helps us passively so that we can continue our efforts in the community.
Okay. Wow. So that's the quickest half an hour I think I've been through. Really interesting. Okay. Yeah, well, thanks very much, John, for coming on this podcast.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I will encourage everybody to go and try Vuetify in Vue, and you'll just be amazed at how easy this is to use. I'm using it on my website. You can go on quantumjs.com, and you can see Vuetify in action. I will continue using it for, you know, mid to short term. Don't have any plans to leave it, because it just does everything I need. If you're a company out there and you need John to come and show you how Vuetify works, and give your teacher devs or designers some Vue design work, then he's your guy. So I just wonder if you have any closing remarks.
Yeah, I was going to say that actually very recently, so as to help fund things, I do consulting on the side for consulting as Vuetify. Mm-hmm. And to make the process easier, we're announcing it today, but we've actually set up in the documentation a way that you can easily schedule time with me to get training or help with your project, just right on the documentation. And you get a scheduled date and you get to talk to me for a while, and it's actually pretty seamless. So hopefully it'll be something that will people will want to utilize and allow us to, because, you know, when we see websites or the projects by other companies, it helps us better understand what our framework needs to do, and where maybe areas that it's lacking in. So it's a very important part of you know, the ecosystem for Vuetify is us looking at other applications. So definitely, if you think that would be valuable for your company, reach out and take care of you.
Yeah, John's very sharp, very quick to understand the problems of. I've talked to him before. So if you can send me that link to that, I'll put it on the show notes and people can have a look at it. This is going to be a very popular episode. This noise is going to be.
I hope so. Yeah, I'll get that over to you.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for your time, and thanks everybody for listening to Learn With Us. And we'll see you all at some point in the near future. Thanks very much. Thanks, John.
Bye. Thank you.
Brilliant.